you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
You're listening to Believe You Me with Michael the Count Bisbing.
You know my name yet?
And Anthony Lionheart Smith.
We are on the Believe You Me podcast. What's up, everybody? Anthony, you're home.
I'm home. Yeah,
I drove home. Bobs.
I drove home through the night last night, and then got about 3 hours of sleep, and we're back at it today.
Oh, well, I appreciate it, man. It's good to see you back in your old setting. It must feel nice to be home.
It does, man. It feels so nice. But then, as you can probably relate, when you're in training camp and, you know, I've been gone, you know, except for the weekends. Well, the weekends are usually spent doing kid stuff, sports and practices and all that stuff. I haven't gotten anything done around the house. So grass is overgrown. I got to mow as soon as we're done here. I got to deal with the it's a mess. It's a mess. So my wife did finish painting the door, though, before we started. Like, literally 5 minutes ago, she was finishing painting the door.
Oh, bless her. Bless her. So, like, not only are you a badass in the octagon, you're a great announcer and analyst and all the rest of it, but you do stuff at home. You're very hands-on. Not only do you have cattle, you make your own jerky, you slaughter cows, you got camels.
Good-ass jerky.
Yeah. I want to try it. But you're also handy with a screwdriver and a hammer.
Yeah. Oh, I got a honey-do list that's 9 miles long.
See, that's, again, I mentioned this recently. I've been reading this book, you know, by Jordan Peterson, and 12 Rules for Life. Nothing controversial about it at all, by the way. It's just good advice for men
or
anyone growing up.
I've actually read part of it, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really powerful. It's really good. And anyway, so when I get back, I'm going to start doing a few little jobs myself. I'm going to be a new improved version of Bisping.
You know,
I don't get back till tomorrow.
I got some advice for you in that aspect, and you can tell us about you coming home. But so, like, I didn't grow up with, like, I obviously grew up on a farm with my uncle, and I've always doing the country boy shit. But there's a lot of stuff that, like, I didn't know how to do because I didn't have, like, a dad that was side by side with me wrenching on motors and things like that. Yeah. I learned a lot of stuff through, like, YouTube, where you find a bunch of videos and you just figure out how to do it. And you just, like, follow, you play the video for a little bit and then you try it and you're like, all right, I gotta go back. And I just keep watching it over and over and over and just doing it along with the video. It's really like, it's not like I'm this super handy guy that just knows how to do everything. I just figure it out as I go. Like, I'll just tear something apart and I'll just figure it out.
Yeah, no, there's YouTube videos for everything. Listen, I'm not the worst. I can do a little bit. I used to be a tiler. I've worked on building sites and all that type of stuff, but I don't know, maybe I'm lazy. But Rebecca is very hands-on, you know what I mean? And, like, I remember, as you said, the YouTube videos. There is a YouTube video for everything. If you buy something and it's flat pack or it needs assembling, there's a YouTube video for it. Our boiler broke down. I was in training camp, so I was away. And she didn't want to hire a plumber or somebody to come around and fix it because she's like, I know it's something pretty simple. She fixed the goddamn boiler by herself by going on YouTube and, like, figuring it out and doing it and following the steps. You're absolutely right. So there you go. Screwdriver Bisping coming in strong when I get home. I'll be flying on the plane in the morning and we're back. Camp was good. All done.
So, yeah, man, it was great. It was so long. It was so long. Like, I did that little bit of, you know, that month before that January card in Brazil to be the backup. And then I just kind of kept on going. So I've been in camp since, like, December, which really sucks. But I'm ready, man. I'm so ready. I'm just ready to get there now. You know, fight week it just seems like it's still very far away, but it's really not.
So regarding fight week then, regarding Monday's show, do you want to do it Sunday? Would that make life easier for you?
Yeah, we could probably do it Sunday. Well, I could do it Monday. I don't leave till Tuesday, so I could.
Okay, all right. We'll do Monday then if it's fine by you. Yeah. I'm just trying to maximize your time with the wife and children. Will they be coming to watch the fight?
My wife and then my oldest will be there. My oldest daughter, because, you know, there for a long time, I wasn't having any of the kids come. They've been to my fights before, you know, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but you know, I got less time ahead of me than I got behind me. So my wife was like, well, why don't we just start from now on, just bring in one at a time and we'll just kind of rotate them. Cause who knows, like who knows how many you got left. So yeah, let's make the most of it, which is kind of it's a relieving feeling. You know, I think earlier in my career, I would have been like disappointed to say that, or like, or I don't know, dreading it, but it's very refreshing and freeing knowing that like, I don't only have so much time left. So I just enjoyed the process a whole lot more now. Like I'm trying to enjoy the journey and enjoy every little part of it. Like even the little shit that sucks, like during camp and you're banged up and you're tired. And you know, like I find myself enjoying the sessions over, you're flat back on the mat, you're exhausted and it's just you and your teammates and you guys are all gassed. And before that was like the worst possible scenario. Mm. And now it's like something I very much enjoy. Like I'm not going to be able to do this forever. So I'm going to enjoy these little moments, you know? So like, it's just one of those things. We're going to start bringing one kid at a time which kind of puts a damper on the after party, but
little bastards. But you know, I've got something to say that kind of, it does relate to that, but on a different matter, you know, and I've had these thoughts and I'm probably going to get a lot of crap for saying this, but as you said, you've probably got less in front of you than what you've got behind you, you know? And I feel like that with life, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, I live a long, happy life, you know, but I was always worried. I was always terrified. It always stressed me out and gave me major anxiety of going back to being broke, going back to being on minimum wage. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And now I'm like, I'm 44. Do you know what I mean? And I still haven't messed it up yet. And I'm still going good. You know, maybe in another 10, 12 years, we retire. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I've only got another 10 years before I can completely destroy everything. And I'm like, I've pulled it off. I've almost done it. And it's like, I'm not wishing for my life to end. Do you know what I mean? I'm wishing away my years. But I'm like, well, you know, I'll be 45 next time. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah. almost not fucked up my entire life. And that feels bloody good. But still, you know,
Bisping's I still got plenty of time to mess my life up.
Yeah. You know, with your daughter coming, people always say, you know, and I've said this line, I think, no man alive will beat me in front of my son. No man alive will beat me in front of my children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you do say that and you do feel like that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you feel extra pressure when your daughter's there or one of your children?
No, not too much. I'm excited just to have her there and like show her kind of what I do. Cause they've been to the fights, but they've never been there like any significant amount of time before. So it's like, they just show up with grandma and they watch me fight and then we leave. But I'm excited about that, but they don't really give a shit if I win or if I lose. It doesn't matter to them at all. As long as I'm okay and I'm not like too injured, you know, or have to go to the hospital or, you know, then they get worried. But other than that, they don't really care which is really refreshing. And I think sometimes I try to have that same thought process about the rest of the world, because when you lose or you don't perform the way that you want to, or whatever, you feel like the world is just falling down on your head. And at the end of the day, like, and don't take this the wrong way, I had this mindset when I went into the Gustafson fight. I remember them asking me like, you know, how do you think you're going to get this win, or what's the key to victory, or like just kept talking about winning. And I remember I was so mad about the John Jones fight. I didn't go to Sweden to fight Gustafson to win. I had this monkey on my shoulders and I was so angry about the John Jones fight that I just wanted to perform. I wanted to make myself proud, as silly and as cliche as that sounds. I wanted to just make myself proud and I didn't really care if that meant that I won. I wanted to punch someone really hard and I wanted to just go out and actually perform. If I performed and then I lost anyways, I didn't care. I just wanted to perform. And I'm very much in that mindset now where I'm like less concerned about the quote unquote winning. it's about executing and just doing the things that I know I'm capable of. And if I go in there and I do everything that I know I'm capable of, I think that always is going to equate to a win. Mm. But I don't know. I just hear recently, I'm just like, it's not wins and losses or whatever. It's about just going in there and making myself proud. And like, if I feel good about it afterwards, then I do think that means I won. But I'm not trying to think that far. So that's why I don't feel like I have a lot of pressure right now. I'm just worried about doing what I know I'm capable of. And if I do that, I think everything else falls in place.
Well, that's absolutely correct. You know, because listen, in a fight, of course you have an opponent, but generally in life, the race is against yourself. Do you know, you know what I mean? You're only competing with yourself, you know, not anyone else. You know what I mean? Always trying to be the better version of yourself today than what you were yesterday, you know, and everything else doesn't matter. I always used to tell Callum, because he was my number one fan when he was a little kid and I was fighting, you know, I'd call him beforehand in the locker room because I knew he was watching at home on TV. Bloody hell, it makes me emotional. And I'd always say to him, because he said, Dad, you're going to win, right? You're going to win. I'd always say, son, I can't guarantee I'm going to win. You know what I mean? And if I don't feel bad. I said, but I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my best. And that's all that matters. I said, remember that, son, in life, as long as you do your best and you try your hardest and you prepare as well as you can, then what will be. And it's like we said on the last show. So,
well, you got to live that too. Like I tell my kids all the time, like I got to live what I preach. I tell my kids all the time when Adley's wrestling or Araya's playing in these national qualifying volleyball tournaments, you know, she's like, I'm just kind of nervous. I want to win. Like, I don't care if you win. I want max effort. As long as you don't give up, the result doesn't really matter. You give it your best, you never give up, and you have a good attitude. I don't really care what happens after that. It's not about wins and losses to me. So I can't say that to my children and then not live that same mentality myself. And of course, things are a little bit different when it's your career and the way you live your life or the way you, you know, put food on the table. And that's a little bit different. Right. That's a little bit different. But at the end of the day, I'm not rich by any means, but I'm far from broke and I can do a lot of other things. And like, I get to fight. And I don't think I had that mindset even a couple of years ago. It was like, I got to do this and I got to make this work. And I don't have to do anything. I get to. And I think with my mom dying and having to go through some of that mental work and, you know, tomorrow, maybe I'm in my feelings a little bit because here in 2 days is the 1 year anniversary of my mom. So maybe I'm just, you know, getting in my emotions and in a good way, I think. I'm just excited.
Seems like in a good way.
Yeah, I'm just really excited I get to go fight. You know, it's been 3 years. I fought once a year for injuries and all the other bullshit. So I'm just excited that I'm healthy and I'm feeling good. I get to go back and do it again.
Well, absolutely. I mean, let's be honest. Very few people on this planet get to do what they love.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I can speak for you and myself. And I think the majority of the UFC roster, no one has a gun to our heads. No one forces us to do it. We do it because we love the competition. We love the sport. We love testing ourselves. Of course, you know, you get a little bit of, you know, you get some adoration and you make good money and that's all fantastic, but we love it as well, you know, as opposed to getting out of bed in the morning. That's why I always tell my kids, dream your dream and then try and live it. You know, because, you know, I saw this video and we're getting all inspirational here. And it's not
really
the vibe of the podcast, but I like it.
I like it.
I keep seeing this video on Instagram and it's so true. It's Jim Carrey and he's been given an award. He's given in a speech somewhere and he gets up there and he says, you know, my dad always wanted to be a comedian, but he didn't believe he could make a career out of that. So then he became an accountant and eventually that company went bust and we found ourselves in a lot of financial trouble. He said, my father failed at something he didn't want to do. So you might as well fail at something you want to do, you know? And that's the lesson I try and teach my kids all the time. Listen, what do you want to do? Go for it, you know? All right, let's talk about Innovative Extracts. They are giving an exclusive discount to our listeners. You can receive 40% off your first order when you go to the website, ie-cbd.com, and use the promo code MMA. Okay, listen, Innovative Extracts, they have all the THC and CBD products that you need. They're owned by a veteran company, you know, a veteran-owned company, should I say. They're located in Pennsylvania. They all the THC and CBD products that you need. They own their own farm. Everything's organic. They have a lab on site to test it to make sure it is the highest quality CBD oil. They partner with GMP-certified facilities and they use third-party labs to ensure that all of their products maintain the highest quality. Listen, this stuff's the best value on the market. Highest quality CBD, most importantly, at the most competitive prices. And with the promo code MMA, you're getting 40% off also. We all want to relieve stress, aches, pains, improve sleep. These guys, they have products that will help all of that. Their products can help improve sleep, improve your mood, reduce anxiety, and give you relief from pain and inflammation. Also got a wide variety of products to suit your taste. They have the tinctures, the gummies, the creams, the vapes, whatever you need. Something to take the edge off, something to give you a buzz. Well, Innovative Extracts has you covered with a full line of CBD and THC products that are legal and don't require any medical card. And they ship to almost every state. So we recommend you try these guys out. Go to the website, www.ie-cbd.com. Get 40% off today when you use the promo code MMA at checkout. All right, let's get into this fight this weekend. UFC 288, the main event, 88, the main event, Aljamain Sterling. Henry Cejudo, the king of cringe, is back after 3 years when he knocked out Dominic Cruz. Then it was TJ Dillashaw. He stopped Marlon Moraes in three rounds. He has knockout power in the hands. And of course, he's an Olympic gold medal wrestler. Okay? So, Anthony, what do you think? Hold on. Aljamain Sterling said he's looking for his first ever stoppage on the feet. I didn't realize he'd never stopped anybody on the feet. That is alarming when you look at this matchup.
Yeah, that is. That's a, he's just, it's just not his style. You know, he's a grappler by style, and his style of striking isn't really sitting down on his punches. He's not an inside the pocket boxer. It's just never really been his style. And I don't see him getting a finish on his feet. I really don't. If he wins this fight, it's going to be because of his grappling and takedown ability. It's not really that every man has the ability to knock out another man, but it's not the way that he fights. He's very kind of funky. He's unorthodox. He punches on the move a lot, which doesn't typically generate a whole lot of power, but it does get reactions that end up setting up his takedowns. You're like wrestling for wrestling. If these guys wrestled on a wrestling mat, Henry Cejudo would dust Aljamain Sterling. Now, MMA wrestling is a totally different thing, and I think this is where people are getting confused. Yeah. You're saying, well, he's a Division III wrestler versus an Olympic gold medalist. It's not that simple. It's not that simple. Once you start mixing in the punches and the threat of submission attacks, once you get there, it changes the way that you attack. Henry Cejudo has to be mindful of the takedown because he knows Aljamain Sterling is going to attack it often and probably pretty early.
Yeah, he's going to attack it, and he's going to try and take the back. If he takes his back, Henry's going to be in real trouble, as is anybody. Aljamain, if I'm not mistaken, has a 7-inch reach advantage. He's the bigger guy, and that is a good advantage to have. He's the bigger guy, he's the longer guy. But he's going to have to stay on the outside. Of course, being bigger and longer helps that. But if Henry gets on the inside, he can wrestle and he can knock him out. You know, I do believe that, you know, and that's all about him getting on the inside. I don't know if Aljamain will allow himself to be on the bike or dance around, you know, maintaining range for 25 minutes. You know what I mean? There's a part of you as a fighter, you're like, I don't need to be fucking circling the whole time. I'm not jabbing and jogging my way to a victory. You know what I mean? I'm here to fight, you know, but if he does that, he's making a mistake that allows Henry in on the inside. Obviously, it's been 3 years since he was away. I don't think Henry would have slipped. He's been around the sport. He's not a party animal. He hasn't been doing any of that. He's had a family. He's been coaching John Jones, Figueiredo, people like that, staying at the highest level of the sport this whole time. What do you think? Ring rust, do you think it'll be a factor?
I think a little bit. I don't know if I'd call it ring rust, but it's going to take him a second to fight. Speed is different. So you can train all you want, but once you get in there, it's going to take some adjustment to the speed a little bit. So I think there's going to be a little bit of that. But if I had to guess, I think Aljo 100% loses the first two rounds. I absolutely believe that. I think that he's gonna be shooting a lot. It's gonna be a lot of cage wrestling, and he's gonna be unsuccessful a lot early. But I think that that plays into his favor. I think if Cejudo is trying to strike and land some big shots, but constantly having to defend takedowns, I think eventually he's gonna wear on Cejudo a little bit.
Yeah,
that's kind of how I see the beginning of the fight go. Now, will Aljo turn it around and be able to take advantage of slowing Henry down a little bit and trying to frustrate him? I don't know, but I do think that he's going to lose the first couple rounds.
Also, age is a factor. He's 36 years old now. 36 at that weight class, you slow down quicker, of course. Aljamain's on a great run, confidence sky high. Beat Piotr Jan, beat TJ Dillashaw. Choked out Corey Sandhagen in one round. I think he's on an 8-fight win streak, you know, and he's got a lot of accolades, you know, a lot of, you know, in the records for those divisions, he's like number 3 or 4 in several of them, you know. So he's got great defense, great submissions. He's a hell of an athlete as well, and he's the bigger guy, but he believes in himself. Hey, Brian, do we have that video? Did you see, you must have seen it, Anthony, where they stumbled upon each other at the fighter hotel?
Yeah.
It was the weirdest.
It was uncomfortable.
Like, most awkward interaction ever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It does show the confidence of Sterling, because he approached Henry. He could have just walked by him and been like, yo, what's up? You know what I mean? But he walks over, wanted to shake his hand and like wish him well. But he's like, I'm going to ruin your dreams.
Yeah, it was awkward. It was like, why did you stop and do this? Just keep walking.
Henry wanted to talk shit. But Aljamain was almost shit-talking, but being polite while saying it.
Being very nice about it.
Yeah. It was like the most passive-aggressive conversation ever. Oh, here we go. It was weird. Hold on.
Look at Henry. He don't know what to say.
Look at the handshake.
I'm ready.
I hope so.
I'm ready.
It's going to be fun.
No, I'm ready.
And I do appreciate it. Seriously. The owner's serious now, not the whole... So I didn't think you were serious, but I'm glad to see that you are.
I am. This has been a good camp for me. It's been a good camp. We have a solid team. And my job's to get it down, dude. You
know? Awkward.
And I know how much
awkward.
You want.
Word.
You know, defend. You're in your backyard. But I'm ready, dude. I'm ready.
I hope so, man. It's going to be a good show for the fans. That's what I care about. As long as this is a good show, I know I'm going to make my money. I'm going to do it in a good way and put on a good performance.
Liar.
I'm sorry, man, but fortunately, this is how the game goes. You got to crush another man's dreams, you know?
All right. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Brian. We get the
God,
idea.
I'm so uncomfortable right now.
Yeah, it's the most awkward thing ever.
Well, they're both lying, too.
They're both lying. Yeah.
They're lying. Yeah, I hope it was. I hope you did have a good camp. No, I hope you got fucking pneumonia and you still walk. I don't give a shit.
I hope you stubbed your toe last night. Do you know what I mean?
I hope you break your leg on the way to the cage.
I hope you wake up on the day of the fight with diarrhea and throwing up everywhere, okay?
Exactly. As long as you still make the walk. You don't wish he had the best camp of his life.
I hope you blow your shoulder out in the first round like TJ Dillashaw.
I hope you blow your shoulder out, jerk it off, and can't tell anybody.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. So what do you think? I'm going to say, and I'm not confident in it, but I do believe Cejudo is more powerful with the hands. We've seen he's got power, man. Yeah. I mean, he beat Demetrius Johnson.
I think he's faster, too.
He's faster. He knocked out Dillashaw and Cruz. That was 3 years ago as well. Maybe 4 years for Dillashaw. Yeah, but three years ago, Dominic Cruz wasn't getting knocked out by people.
No.
He did off Cejudo. So I'm going to say Cejudo. I think he gets it done, but, you know, apologies, Aljamain.
Yeah, I'm not super confident in it either, but I promised myself that I was going to quit. Every time Aljo fights, it's just like, I don't know what it is about his style or his approach or his game. I just always see like a path to victory for the other guy and can never, for whatever reason, pick out a clear one for Aljo. So I've tried to do a better job of paying closer attention to Aljo. And I do see one. And I think that it is the wrestling and grappling. He's so transitional and attacks in those transitions so fast. And Cejudo, he's always moving and grooving to somewhere, you know, and I think it leaves a lot of opportunities for Aljo. So I'm going to go with Aljo. Not super confident, but I'm going to go with Aljo.
Okay. A little wager on this, perhaps, you know, yeah. a little,
When are we going to do this chip thing? People are getting pissed.
All right. No, you're right. Okay. Okay. Well, that's not a wager. If we do the chip thing, which we will Monday. Okay.
Monday,
without question, I'll be home. Mm-hmm. No excuses. The one chip challenge is on. You're going to blow your fight.
A fiery butthole all week.
Yeah. Shitting your ass out all week. You know, you had an amazing camp, so why did you have to pull out? Well, I did this chip, which was essentially made of acid.
Blew my asshole out.
Like, why would you take that? Right, and then Monday we're doing that. Okay. We'll get to the co-main event in just a second. But, you know, we've talked a little bit about artificial intelligence. And let's be honest, we're both morons. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about ChatGPT. Have you messed around on ChatGPT?
I haven't yet.
It's just a website you go to. It's super easy. AI open ChatGPT or something like that. Just Google it. It gives you the website. But there's all sorts now. And there's even one that's a logo generator. It's unbelievable because one of the actors on this, his son's with him, and his son is only a young kid, 13 or even 12, and he wants to be a graphic designer. And I was having a little chat with him, and I kind of dashed his hopes and dreams. He's studying graphic design and stuff. I said, oh, have you seen the logo generator from AI? And his dad's like, what are you talking about? I said, there's a website, logogeneratorai.com, something like that. You put in whatever it is. Whatever the company's called, the podcast called, whatever it may be, boom, in the blink of an eye, it gives you about 1,000. And they just keep coming. More and more logo designs.
Oh, no.
And the dad's like, motherfuckers. You know, because you're just not needed anymore.
You don't need it anymore.
But they'll never be able to replicate the flair of the human mind. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But there's a new thing out now in Harrington. Come on and give us the details, please. There's an artificial model now which can read people's minds based upon the brainwaves. They can read the brainwaves and determine what the thoughts of the individual are. Harrington, please.
Let's hope not.
So some researchers at UT Austin, they've called it the first non-invasive mind reading device that's ever been made. The idea is you just put it on, it reads your brainwave activity, and then converts it to text. So whatever you're thinking just becomes a long wall of text in front of you, just free flowing. As quick as you can think, that AI is going to write it down. The people who are developing itself are like, we don't even know how powerful this thing is going to get.
You started off by saying it's not invasive. That's pretty goddamn invasive. That's about as invasive as you can get. I'd rather have a one chip stuck up my butthole than have people reading. I mean, that's invasive. But that's
how awful would that be? Like, what if we just walked around the world with like little text bubbles above our head of what we were thinking? I'd never leave my house.
They can just connect you to like the monitor, you know what I mean? And boom, you know, like, where were you last night?
Home.
You know, and it all comes up. You're speaking to someone, a police officer. They know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, anything. You've got no... I mean, Brian, come on, buddy. You've got a lot to say on this about how the government are going to use this for their evil, wicked ways.
Well, I would hope not. But what they mean by invasive is the old versions of this, they used to have to shove lead lines into your brain.
Yeah, no, so, I know. It was a joke.
That's fucking no good. But yeah, I mean, this is awful. I'm like, it's just straight up not good for society.
No, something should be private forever. Thinking.
You know?
That's what I was going to say. I don't understand why some people would develop so much time and attention to this. This is not something that, in my opinion, is required for human society. We don't need technology that can read people's thoughts.
No
way. That's just going to cause...
The world would crash. Like, you knew...
You can't have a conversation with anybody.
No, if you knew every day what someone was thinking while you were talking to them, I wonder how many people a day you'd want to punch. Like, as soon as you start, my daughter was just doing this and she's having a good day at school. And then a little chat bubble pops up like, this fucking piece of shit. I'd like to.
Your thoughts just popped up on my phone, you prick. I know what you really thought. You might have said yes, but in your mind, you said, I hope that limey prick fucking dies in a car crash. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's all that about, buddy? Yeah, no, no, no. I don't like that at all. I wonder if it would ever. I don't think it'll ever be fully implemented. Like you have, even in the court of law, I don't think lie detectors. You know, I mean, that's kind of like a very primitive version of this. Yeah. Like, lie detectors aren't.
What about your wife?
Yeah,
she, like ask you to do something, and you're like, oh yeah, sweetheart, I'll go do that right now. But in your head, you're like, fucking bitch.
Did you like the meal I cooked? Oh, really nice, really nice.
These pants make me look fat. No, I think they look fantastic, sweetheart.
No, you don't need to work out. You look just perfect.
But in your brain, you're like, damn.
Yeah. No, lie detectors, are they used as evidence in American courts?
Because I don't think they're admissible in court.
They're not admissible.
They do use them, but they can't use them in court.
As just like an idea, to waste even more court money.
Yeah, it's just like, well, he's definitely lying, so we'll keep digging into this. But they can't like go to court and say he failed a lie detector test.
Yeah. But they do use them, don't they? I mean, I watch a lot of forensic files.
Yeah, they're
always on forensic files.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I guess it gives them a baseline of whether they're lying or whatever. Oh dear, the world's going crazy. The world is going crazy. I wonder if they use this technology on Bilal Muhammad, and he said, "Do you really believe you're going to win this the weekend?" And he said, "Yes." Yeah. I wonder if he would be telling the truth. And you see, that right there was what you call an award-winning segue.
That's a good one. That's a pretty good one.
That's what you call an award-winning segue. Bilal Muhammad, remember the name, Gilbert Burns. Take it away, Mr. Smith.
Man, this fight is so interesting to me. And, you know, I got mediated again where, like, you know, they clipped what I was talking about with my friends that were in Ramadan. They got a little bit fluffy because of their eating habits and whatever. So now I look like a dickhead, but whatever. Fuck off.
What did you say? I know you said something.
Because I said, I wonder how his weight is. And you were like, well, he's been in Ramadan, so he's probably skinny. I'm like, well, actually, a couple of my Muslim friends are actually a little bit fluffier because they're eating, like binging themselves late at night and then, you know, not really training as much. So then, of course, they clip that one part and makes me look like an asshole. But
what, like anti-Muslim or something? Or?
No, just where I'm like, oh, Bilal's probably fat as fuck and hasn't been training, which is not what I said. But
I was going to say, there's nothing controversial there.
Because
some of your Muslim friends do get a little fluffy,
doesn't mean Bilal does.
My God, people. Use the chat GPT. Are they dickheads? They are dickheads.
That's my reference point, you know, like, Yusuf Zalal is my reference point into the Muslim world and his friends. And that's what I see. But anyways, I do favor Gilbert Burns here because he's been more active. Obviously it's his third pay-per-view he's fighting in and it's only May. So he's super active. He's been in some high level fights. He's looked really, really good. But I do think Bilal has a path to victory here. He's obviously got power in his hands and he's starting to believe in him a little bit. It seemed like his mindset changed a lot when he was training with Habib. Even for that one training camp, he seems to believe in himself a little bit more as far as striking. And I think you go there and you train with all those savages like that. I don't think you can help but start to believe in yourself and know that you can kind of walk through fire no matter what if you have to, because I'm sure he had to a lot. I think if it goes to the ground, though, here's where I start leaning a little bit more Gilbert Burns. Because he is so dangerous on the ground, he's great on top, but he's just as good from his back. Bilal's safe place is in the full guard. He doesn't pass as much as I'd like to see him pass. So we just tend to hang out in those gray areas a little bit. And I think that's dangerous with a guy like Gilbert Burns. But we've seen Bilal hurt before on the feet. We know Gilbert Burns is going to swing for the fences. So I think just with the short camp, short notice, probably a tough wake up. Bilal's a big dude. Even if he's in shape, he cuts pretty hard. He's a pretty big guy. I do favor Gilbert just a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's still got the afro, which adds like 20% superpowers.
It's like when Teddy Atlas, you know, he said when you become the champ, you get 30% better. When Gilbert Burns has the afro, he gets 30% back.
He does.
Listen, the thing for Bilal, I don't know. I've never rolled with him or wrestled with him or grappled, but he looks really strong. You know, and from his performances, like, he manhandles people, he gets a hold of them, and he holds them down. He has great control, great technique to go with it, of course, but he looks monstrously strong. I mean, the man's just, he's not like the most ripped. Yeah, his back, he's like, he's like a silverback almost.
He just seems like if he just would grab you and just suck you in, it would be a problem.
And a guy like that, they can stifle from full guard. Mm-hmm. You know, even high-level jiu-jitsu players, if you know enough technique and you don't engage in the game, you can slow someone down and minimize somebody like a Gilbert Burns. However, it's a dangerous game to play. On the feet, I favor Gilbert Burns. I know Bilal's improving all the time, and last time out against Sean Brady, that will, you know, make him way more confident. And it's only when you go out there and you get a stoppage with your hands then you truly start to believe in your striking ability. You know, he has that. He will have improved physically and mentally with the striking. But against Gilbert, Gilbert's deadly on the feet. I think he's a little quicker. I think he's a little cleaner. Mm-hmm. Just beating Masvidal, all right, he mixed it up a lot, but he won the striking exchanges as well. Right. You know, so he's going to be super confident. He's also going to be it's going to be super duper like relevant duper, and like, dude. And like, dude, he's going to be like so used to the environment, man. Like, it's only a few weeks ago, man, he was in there with Masvidal. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so he's going to be like totally dude. He's going to be like so, like, totally just, dude.
It's a bunch of different opponents, though, too. Like, Stryker and Neil Magny, Stryker and Masvidal. Heavy, heavy, heavy wrestler. So it is a different style. It's different than he's been used to. That's for sure.
Do you think he'll... I just don't see a world. I mean, I can see Bilal taking him down. I don't think he'll be able to control him like he thinks he might. Mm-hmm. I could see Gilbert taking him down when he hurts him on the feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see him catching him with a couple of shots. And this sounds like I'm very heavy leaning towards Gilbert. And I think Gilbert's going to win. I do. I'll just be honest. I'll throw that out there. I think he's going to win. And the way I think it happens, I think he catches him with the hands. Mm-hmm. I think he gets a takedown. And then Bilal's going to try and scramble back to his feet, potentially give up his back. And Gilbert's going to take it. I don't think Bilal's going to make mistakes on the ground. He's not going to allow Gilbert to pass and like get a head and arm or anything like that. Yeah.
Well, and I don't think Gilbert submits him from his back either.
No.
I don't see that happen. I mean, Bilal's good. Bilal's very good. So I don't think he gets a takedown and then Gilbert throws up an arm bar from guard and taps him. I just don't see that happening.
He's not sweeping him all over the place and doing omoplatzes from his back and just like making a mockery of him from guard. Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be a very, very closely contested thing. Yeah.
I do agree with you, though. I do see Gilbert hurting him on the feet and then the finish comes from there.
Yeah. But I'm going to say a decision, though. I mean, I can't see if there is a submission. It's from him giving up his back, trying to get back to his feet. Not because Bilal doesn't know he should have given up his back, but when you're taking shots and you're taking damage, you don't always act right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, who was it? Well, I've done it a couple of times. You know, like when I got finished off Luke Rockhold the first time, he caught me with a head kick. Mm-hmm. I'm getting back. I essentially got on all fours to get back to my feet. I know you don't do that, but guess what? But then you just had a baseball bat wrapped around your head.
Just get up.
You're not thinking straight. It's like, just get up. Under any circumstances, we get back to our feet and we fight. And that's when you make mistakes. So, yeah.
I agree with you too. Gilbert Burns by decision. I think he, if there is a finish, obviously I think it's going to be Gilbert. But I think Bilal's going to hold his own in there. I think it's going to be close. I think he loses the striking exchanges, and I think I wouldn't be surprised to see them kind of nullify each other in the wrestling for the most part.
Yeah, I just think Gilbert's just a little bit faster and sharper on the feet, and I think that's the big difference. Of course, we know he's better.
Well, and there's a certain element to not giving a fuck either, and I think Gilbert cares less in those firefights than Bilal does because he's been in there. You know, he's been in those fiery shootouts with guys like Khamzat and, you know, Usman and, you know, really, really heavy hitters. And he's pretty comfortable in the pocket to just let him swing. And Bilal's a little smarter. You know, he uses a little bit more, I don't know. He just doesn't tend to get into those kind of bangers like that.
It would be a shame for Bilal, though, if he loses it here, because he was
God, it would be
9 fights unbeaten, campaigning like a mother effer, you know, saying all the right things, doing all the media, even like, you know, you know, going at the UFC a little bit for not getting his title fight. Yeah, and stuff,
then they stick it right to you for talking all that shit.
Yeah. And then now if he loses, it's like, oh God, you know, so may the best man win, but I would put my money on Gilbert. Brian and Harrington, your thoughts, please.
I always bet on Gilbert Burns. I think he's an absolute terminator.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
I made that mistake last time picking Gamebred. I'm not doing it again. Gilbert Burns, friend of the show, is leaving Newark, New Jersey as the clear number one contender.
Yeah, well, you know, Bilal's a friend of the show as well, but we got a clean sweep right there. All right, guys, listen, we love natural supplements here at the Believe You Me podcast, and our friends at Chalk are back, and they are the only natural supplement products worthy of the Bisping stamp of approval. Sometimes guys who eat really well, train hard, and are in great shape, they don't see the need for supplements. But the thing is, you're going to try and take every advantage that you can get. The reality is men's testosterone levels are at an all-time low. Not a day goes by that I don't see a guy who has maybe a bad diet earlier on in life or low levels of testosterone naturally that could use a little boosty, you know, to help out their training. Low testosterone, no motivation, no energy, no gains in the gym, libido suffers. Well, that's all well and good because Chalk has created a new natural testosterone booster that's taken the world by storm, and I prefer Chalk for several reasons. The supplement industry is full of a lot of useless products, let's be honest, and the guys at Chalk are proud to stand above the rest in clean, pure, and healthy products. Chalk uses full disclosure labeling, so you know exactly what goes into every product. No label fluffing or underdosings, and all ingredients are measured to exact clinical research. Chalk Daily is the cleanest research-based testosterone booster available. And along with Chalk Daily, be sure to check out their Male Vitality Stack and the Stack Ultra. Listen, if you're not making the gains, if you haven't got the energy, if you're not motivated, if you're just feeling weak and tired all the time, you probably need to try Chalk's testosterone booster. Listen, we always have a great offer for you. And that is no difference with this. Check out chalk.com, chalq.com. When you're there, use the code Bisping. You're going to get a huge 35% off your entire order. So if you want to get going with a bang, you want to see results for your workouts, you just want to feel like more of a man generally, then chalk.com is the website you need to go to. Bisping is the code for 35% off your entire order. Good luck. Let's have a look at the notes real quick. Harrington hasn't put anything. Oh, you know, this is kind of interesting. I don't want to talk about this, but I do want to talk about it. But you know why I don't want to talk about it is because I get accused of being a liberal Hollywood pussy every time. Right? I was in Singapore, right? I was in Singapore last year for the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. And I was drinking all my bottled water in the hotel room. And then towards the end of my trip, it just dawned on me that the bottles of water were all glass every time, you know, and mm-hmm. I thought, oh, that's great. You know, they're minimizing the plastic and all the rest of it because the plastic in the world is an issue. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you see reports. There's billions and billions of tons of it floating in the ocean. Right.
Well, there's all those turtles with all those Coke straws still stuck in their nose.
Trapped through it, and they're all cute and they're swimming. Like,
turtles know how to party, man.
No, especially Teenage Mutant Ninja ones. Scientists in Australia have developed a fungus that can break down small plastics like cling film and ice cream tubs in as little as 140 days. Do you know how long plastic takes to break down?
Uh-uh.
500 years.
Really?
500 years. So all these things, plastic, everything, all this shit, everything that we use every day, when we're long dead and gone, when we're dead and buried, that shit is still here.
No
for
shit.
500 years.
That's crazy. I didn't know it took that long.
Yeah. See,
I wouldn't call myself a liberal Hollywood pussy for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
Well, no, but I'm just saying no one's ever going to accuse me of that. But
right, so give me your take.
I don't see a problem. I don't see a problem with creating something that's going to break down the plastic. Like, maybe people peg me as the, you know, probably the more conservative, the conservative guy here in this, you know, in this space. But I have a lot of pretty fucking liberal views, and I don't think that getting rid of the plastic is a negative thing. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, it is a good thing. We just got to use less of it, but this could be fantastic because the thing is, all the plastic is getting.
I hate them goddamn paper straws they put in your drinks though, in a lot of places.
Fuck the paper straws, man.
Mm,
well, we've been through this, Anthony. A real man doesn't use a straw.
Well, I need a straw in my alcoholic beverages, and I hate those little stupid paper ones. It just drives me absolutely crazy. They get all soggy and you're just
don't need
all limp,
just
in your mouth.
Don't use a straw.
Weird.
I know it's gross and start getting soggy. Yeah, right? Weird. It's like it's bad. But yeah, no, I saw that. Harrington put it in the notes, not me. Before you all start, I'm all being Hollywood liberal pussy. I'm not in the slightest, and I do understand why people say that because I don't mean about me. I mean about people because or about certain people because a lot of people. And I get this, you know, a lot of people are struggling in this world. You know, we were talking before about finances and doing the things we love and all the rest of it. And we're very lucky because the majority of us, you know, that aren't on the poverty line, we're in like the top 1% of all human beings on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you really, really look at it, the structure of society throughout the world, we're right at the top. And I don't mean me and you. I mean the majority of people in Western culture,
right,
apart from those sad people living in abject poverty. You know, there's so many people around the world struggling. They can't get water. Their conditions are terrible.
Right.
But even still, in countries like the UK, USA, wherever, when they're struggling and life's hard and they haven't got money to pay the bills and all the rest of it, I get it. They don't give a damn about fucking plastic.
Right.
You know, they're like, I've got fucking real life problems right here and now.
I'm trying to pay rent.
I'm trying to pay the rent. I'm not bothered if there's a fucking ice cream cart and a fungus that can do that. That's great. Fuck off. What do I care? Mm-hmm. I've got no money. I can't pay for my kids' bloody...
I can't buy ice cream.
Yeah, never mind the ice cream tub.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Why did you put this in the notes? Because I'm gonna get the brunt of this.
I just thought it was, you know, you guys are men of science and culture, obviously. I just found this interesting. It was some mold growing in a backyard in Australia that they found that they were like, oh my God, this interacts like crazy with plastics. Years ago, they found that it breaks down like a lot of it within 2 weeks. And now the research is showing it can break.
2 weeks.
That's crazy.
2 weeks.
I just don't see it.
What's the movie? The movie? 2 weeks.
I don't know.
2 weeks.
I'm guessing it's Arnold.
It's definitely Arnold, but I don't know what movie.
2 weeks. Get ready for a surprise. Total Recall.
Recall? No, I've never seen it.
When he's dressed up as a woman. And he's going through the airport, and then it's like this fake robotic head that he has starts messing up. 2 weeks, he just keeps saying 2 weeks. Anyway, sorry, where are we?
I was saying, you know, like we talked about a little bit the Bud Light thing the other day. Like sometimes I got some DMs about it.
Yeah, they're going after it. I saw in the comment section.
Yeah, a little bit. But at the end of the day, like you can have a goddamn opinion that just. Maybe it doesn't match where people, I think people place you in certain places. Like, well, he's over here and he's probably over here.
Pigeonhole you.
Yeah. And like, there's certain things that I like, am I going to be out campaigning to get rid of all the plastic in the world? Probably not. But am I going to be like, well, that's fucking stupid. Why would we do that? No, if we can get rid of the plastic, I think it's good for the world. I don't think that's a negative thing.
Well, you know, because now I think, and I could be wrong here, and Brian just fact checked me on this. It's, now there's microscopic plastic in all the fish.
Mm-hmm.
And when we eat it, it gets into our body, which is going to be cancerous to us. I think a majority of fish, you know, are ocean life.
And people now, too.
And people. It's just, it is infected us all.
Right. You know, and I'm an outdoors guy. Like when we're out riding trails and stuff, every single one of us get back to the cabins or the campsites, our entire back of our... the entire back of our razors and stuff is full of trash and plastic bottles and beer cans and all sorts of shit. Like it's just.
Harrington says here, on average, there is 2.5 microplastic particles for each fish. You know, I mean,
that's wild.
Something's got to be done about that. But anyway, we're not here to talk about plastics. Listen, reduce your plastic waste. Just give it a shot. Give it a try. If you don't, whatever, I get it. If you can't even pay the bills and you can't put gas in your car and you can't buy food and you can't pay the electric bill, I get it. You've got bigger fish to fry. Fish to fry. But those, they might be plastic fish.
Plastic ass fish.
You got more plastic fish to fry. So forget about it. We're not lecturing. But if you can, just minimize as I drink.
Yeah, absolutely.
From my plastic bowl.
I'll try to stop using straws in my Moscow mules.
If I ever see you with a straw
in your Moscow mule, I will. I always have a straw, always.
No, I know.
You judo chop my fucking straw.
We got to go back to Barry's.
Oh, God, we definitely got to go back.
We got to go back to Barry's. Okay, so main card opener, Cron Gracie taking on Charles Jourdain. Cron Gracie came out this week, and what did he say? He said that we need to go back to no time limits. He said, here, hold on, here it is. He said, go on, Harrington, you do it.
So he said that essentially with the round breaks, you're getting instruction from your corners, and that stops being a fight between two men.
I thought you were going to read the actual quote. Is what we want. Bad. We don't want the Harrington's decipher code. What I really think MMA needs is, instead of more rounds, is 15 or 25 minute long rounds. When you have rounds, you have a break and time to think. Your coaches bring you water, and that changes the fight. It's no longer a fight between you and the guy. I know it's hard to have a fight with no time limit, but I think there should be no rounds. It should be 15 minutes or a 25 minute fight. I think that would change the sport for the better. Thoughts?
I don't know if it about how it changes the sport or the, you know, the coaching aspect that he brought up and the fairness and it being one coach versus another. I will say though that I would love to have just a straight 15 or 25 minutes. Because I think I get more tired at the break. I think if I just kept fighting, like when I sit down, like I'm usually pretty good.
You know that goes against all scientific knowledge, research, and practical experience.
Yeah, but a lot of other people say that. Like it's the starting and the stopping. Like if you just continue to go on, your body just kind of gets into your second wind and then your third wind, and then you just start to you figure out whatever pace you need to be at, and then you can bring it up, and then you back off a little bit to recover and you bring it up. Then you sit on the stool though after the round, and you're like, fuck, I wish I could have just kept going, because now I'm starting to feel a little bit tired and your legs start to get heavy and your arms get heavy. I never feel like my arms and legs are heavy or sluggish while the fight's happening. Mm. It only happens in between rounds. So then you start stressing because you're like, I was in really good shape.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I'm gassed. I'm like, I can't even lift my arms up. You feel like you're just throwing these big things around. I don't know. I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind the even like the Pride style, like 10-minute first round, and then
Brian.
I wouldn't mind.
I want to hear Brian's input here. He looked like he had something heavy to say.
No, just it makes sense that your arms get more tired when you're not using them, because that's when the lactic acid starts building up in your muscles.
That makes sense.
Yeah, good point. You know, for Cron Gracie, I get why he's saying it, because he's a jiu-jitsu guy.
Right.
You know, if you get somebody down, which isn't an easy thing to do, you start establishing a position. If someone's good at defending and all the rest of it, it takes time. You break them down, mm-hmm. you pass the guard, you set up submissions, and then the round ends and you're back on your feet. So I understand him saying that, but
for sure.
That was bringing in the rounds, the rules, the commissions. That's why we're here having a conversation about this sport here today. Right. Because if it was like that, it would never have taken off. No. Now, granted, we could have the same rule set, but maybe not without the rounds. But it had to become more appealable and palatable to a wider audience.
Right. Well, it has to be consumable in long, drawn-out fights like that are tough. Plus, not for nothing, the bills get paid in between rounds a lot.
Sponsors. Brought to you by Jimmy John's. Exactly. I love the end of a round, especially if I'm fighting a wrestler. I love that. I'm like, let's do shorter rounds.
Yeah, 2-minute rounds. Let's go. Bare knuckle.
I love the 2-minute rounds. He's fighting Charles Jourdain. Charles Jourdain, really exciting fighter. I love Charles Jourdain. I love watching him fight. What do you think about this fight, though? I think... Cron only had one fight in the UFC. I'm just bringing up the Wikipedia right now. I think it was one against Cub Swanson, and it was a great fight. It was a tough fight.
Yeah. He had Alex Caceres too, I think.
He did. He choked out Alex Caceres, yeah. Then he lost the decision to Cub Swanson. Had three and a half years off. It's been a long time. Charles Jourdain is a great striker. He's fun to watch. Everyone loves watching him fight.
It's closer to his level, for sure. But Alex Caceres and then, you know, kind of the top of the mountain when it comes. Because say what you want about Cub Swanson. Obviously, he's been a little bit inconsistent. He's getting older. But
he's older.
He's good, though. I mean, technically, he's as good as they get.
Cub's an OG. Cub's been around this fight game forever. You want to go up there and you want to look and take someone down and beat him with just jiu-jitsu? Yeah. Cub Swanson's not that guy.
He's not that guy.
Especially when he was
not that guy, pal.
3.5 years ago, Cub Swanson, with respect, because he's my partner at UFC Gym Costa Mesa. If you're in the Southern California area, be sure to swing by UFC Gym Costa Mesa.
Shameless plug.
Fuck it. Let's get it in. Charles Jourdain, Cron Gracie. I say Cron Gracie gets a submission, and the jiu-jitsu world goes crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I think he loses every striking exchange, but I think eventually he will get a takedown.
He's an intense dude. We've also got Jessica Andrade versus Yan Zhao. Now, real quick, I've only got 10 minutes, but I'm going to try and be late, so we'll make it 15 minutes. Okay. Then maybe you can do some questions for Harrington if you don't mind. Yeah. Yan Zhao and Jessica Andrade. I think Jessica Andrade takes it. I think she's too intense. Yan Zhao is great. She's a good boxer. But I don't think she's got what it takes to beat somebody like Jessica Andrade. She's so violent. She's so mean. She hits harder. She's faster. She's got great head movement. And if she gets a chance, she'll pick you up and slam you on your head.
Yeah,
dude, that's a stacker.
We can go X's and O's and whatever all you want, but Jessica Andrade is just the most violent female in the UFC. That's just
on planet Earth.
Yeah, that's just the fact. I think she's just too much. Just in general, overall.
No, I'm totally with you. I'm just looking at the notes Harrington put in. I do apologize. I go home tonight, essentially. You know, it's my last time here, my last night at work, and then I finish, I pack, and I go straight home. I'm so excited to be home.
That feeling is so good, too.
Yeah. It's almost like at the end of camp, but not as good.
That's what I was just thinking. It probably feels a lot like that.
So I don't have too much time left.
Did you meet up with your buddies from the UK? Did you ever end up seeing them at the other side of town?
No, I didn't, no. No, I was going to go see them last Saturday, but then it's almost like a 2-hour taxi drive down there to see them.
Yeah. It's
and tough. Then we would have had a few drinks. And then at the end of the night, I've got to do like a 2-hour taxi drive back by myself.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like fun. Do you know what I mean?
Miserable.
I'm like,
sounds like, good on the way down there. Really bad.
I like you guys. I wanted to see them, but I'm like, but that just sounds crap. Any breaking news, Harrington, that we've got to get to before I bounce even?
Oh, sorry, Harrington. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sure Harrington had something really good. Have you seen the stuff that's going on with Francis? Where he's – well, I don't think we've talked about Francis in a while, but
it sounds let's talk about it, yeah.
Like Bare Knuckle said that he was kind of just required too much money, which isn't a surprise. And then one championship was going to put an offer in, and then there was some non – initially they came out and said there was some non-financial issues that – they just couldn't come to terms on that. They left on, you know, they split on good terms, but they just didn't want to put an offer in. Sounds like Bellator was out too. And then one championship kind of came out, and I don't want to say they threw Francis under the bus, but
I haven't seen a follow-up from them.
They had said, I think Chatri said that they had offered $20 million guaranteed. But there were some other things, like for several fights or for one. It sounded like it was one, but like per fight, but I don't know if that makes any sense here. Maybe it was several. I think I had read that Chatri came out and said that he'd asked for like a seat on the board of directors. And then Ariel had come out and said that Francis is also asking for a minimum pay for his opponents.
I did see that. He wanted a seat at the board of directors and a minimum pay requirement for his opponents. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely putting his money where his mouth is, I suppose, as far as the things that he said leading up to it. And to be very honest with you, I didn't really believe it. And I think I said that publicly, that I thought he was kind of full of shit in some of those things. But I mean, he's turning down pretty big deals and then saying things like he wants minimum pay requirements for the people that he fights, which is cool for the guy he gets to fight. I don't know what that does for us as a community, but it's very interesting that it seems like his doors are slowly closing, and it sounds like he's pretty close to finishing a deal with PFL.
Yeah, I know. I saw rumors of PFL, and I didn't think PFL would be the fit, simply because obviously, you know, he's talking insane amounts of money per fight, and PFL, the golden ticket is the $1 million prize after you've had four fights. Do you know what I mean? I was like, that ain't going to do it. Now, of course, with Jake Paul, they're moving towards a pay-per-view model, but still, you know, there'd have to be some big pay-per-views. Yeah. But regarding...
Who's he fight? That's really what it comes down to. His opponent, well, right? And you got to have a dance partner.
And regarding that there, I mean, having a seat at the board of directors and having a piece of the company, essentially, is what he's talking about there. You can't blame any organization for that, for saying no. We'll get to the minimum wage thing in a second. You build a company, blood, sweat, and tears, a tremendous amount of financial investment from a lot of people. You want money all over the place. You know, maybe you're making a profit now. Talent, fighters come and go. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't let someone come along and, yay, we're going to make good money with this guy and give him a piece of the company. You know, that's not necessarily how it works. As you said, perfect word, extremely noble that he wants his fighters to receive good pay, as his opponents to receive good pay as well. But once again, that depends on the opponent.
Yeah.
It depends who it is you're going to fight, you know. Do they draw numbers as well? They can't just carte blanche agree to whoever it is that your fight is going to get paid X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because talent drives the market, drives the pay-per-view, drives the viewership. And who knows, maybe they want to give him some guy that people never heard of. You want us to give him $3 million as well?
Right. Like, no. Who's this guy? That's always been my issue with Francis competing in MMA outside the UFC. It's not about how much you draw. Listen, Francis, I'll watch you, but I don't know that anyone else gives a shit about that guy. You know what I mean? It's just the heavyweight division is a little bit bleak outside of the UFC. Like, I've seen Fabricio Werdum is sending tweets to Francis about fighting him in the PFL, and you know, that's a draw. Like, I would watch that for sure.
Yeah.
But maybe there's one or two guys out there that's what the problem is. It's not, is Francis a draw? For sure. But I was much more interested in watching him fight Deontay Wilder than anybody in MMA.
Well, that's not happening now. Apparently, no.
Everyone else is boxing. Like,
all the boxers are taken. Alexander Usyk is fighting Tyson Fury, I believe, and on the same card, Deontay Wilder and Anthony Joshua in Saudi Arabia. Is the odd man out. He's the odd man out. He's holding that massive dick in his hand. Oh God, I'm so crude. I shouldn't talk like this on a bloody public podcast. I can't help it. Oh shit. And by the way, I think I can speak universally. We all want the best for Francis. I like the guy. Yeah. I like the guy, but it's just I know he doesn't have a manager, but he has some people advising him. Somebody's in his ear. Somebody has to be. You know.
I'd love to see him bare knuckle, though.
Oh, that's... Would you fight Francis Ngannou in bare knuckle boxing?
I wouldn't fight Francis Ngannou in a thumb wrestling match. I'm not doing shit with that guy.
Never in a bare knuckle boxing match. Not a chance.
Oh, there's some guys they could pull off the couch and bare knuckle and give them $20,000 and they'd do it.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You see Tim Sylvia slap fighting now? I'd love to see Francis Ngannou versus Tim Sylvia in slap fighting.
I'd love to see Francis Ngannou in slap fighting, period. Never mind boxing. Imagine Francis Ngannou in slap boxing.
Oh, we're degenerates. That'd be amazing.
My God. Yeah.
Tim Sylvia's like 6'11 or something. Him versus Ngannou. Slap fighting. Pay-per-view, $4. Let's go.
Tim Sylvia rocks up all out of shape. Belly's hanging over the power slap table.
He looked pretty good. Did he really? He looked pretty good, yeah.
I saw something recently. Tim Sylvia versus someone else I've heard of. And they're going to slap box, right?
I mean,
who is it?
I don't know. I need to find it though. I feel like I'm missing out on my degenerate.
You love it. You know, the next Power Slap's coming up later this month, buddy.
This is where we get canceled. I need to be the guy in the. What'd he say? He texted me and didn't say anything about it.
Text him back.
I'm going to text him as soon as we're done.
I said, Anthony wants to be a catcher.
What, did he just laugh?
He did. He just laughed. He didn't think I was serious. Oh, there it is. Yeah, the maniac Tim Sylvia.
Versus the bulldozer.
Tim Sylvia looks like somebody put a basketball pump in him.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy, though. You know, talk to him much? He's a really nice guy.
He doesn't like me.
Oh, he beefs hardcore with the UFC, but he's always been nothing but kind to me.
Yeah, he doesn't like me. He doesn't like me. I don't know why. He just came out talking a bunch of crap. So, of course, I'm a smart mouth on Twitter. Yeah. So I started talking crap as well. Do you know what I mean? But I do feel for Tim because I don't know him at all, but I've read some articles and apparently he's really struggling with medical fees and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's awful to hear. So I truly wish him the best. All right, today's episode is sponsored by True Classic. The new sponsor has the very best fitting T-shirts that a man can buy. Finding the right t-shirt, if you've got big old guns or a little bit of a dad bod, it can be hard. It can be frustrating. Most t-shirts are way too tight in the wrong places and they make you look too big, boxy, fat, out of shape, you name it. If you're spending countless hours at the gym trying to look good, then why not accentuate that with the perfectly fitting t-shirt? True Classics has helped over 2 million people get a better fit at an affordable price. Okay. Listen, girls have push-up bras. Guys now have these t-shirts. You want to show off your best assets, but we were never given the right fit to do so. Fellas, you're wearing the wrong clothes. You need True Classics. Their tees taper off towards the bottom, but they fit tight around the chest, the shoulders, and it's time to highlight your greatest attributes with a t-shirt that you can always confidently throw on. Listen, these things are soft. They're beautiful. They feel great. They fit fantastic. And they don't just stop at tees. It's your one-stop shop for men's essentials. Super easy and simple to fill out your wardrobe from polos to workout shirts with the same flattering fit to boxer brief designed with a pouch to keep your bulge nice and comfortable. And as I said, this is all top-notch gear at affordable prices. So accentuate those pristine, juicy muscles that you worked so hard for with the active crew necks. They're moisture wicking. They prevent VO and you will get noticed. It's as simple as that. The ladies love it. The dad set it up and the boys will thank you for it. It's about time you learn how to dress yourself properly. Upgrade your wardrobe with True Classics. Go to TrueClassic.com. You're going to get 25% off when you use the code Bisping. You're also going to get free shipping on purchases over $100. That's 25% off at TrueClassic.com with the promo code Bisping. Strengthen your core wardrobe today with True Classic. I should leave right now, but I'm going to drag this out 2 more minutes. Harrington, is there a breaking news story that we need to get to right now before I get fired? But I can't get fired. It's my last day.
How can you get fired on your day off?
I'm out of here, boy.
Can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah. Well, we've canceled your plane ticket. You pay for it yourself. I'm very sorry, sir.
I work here now.
Yeah. Can I have my job back?
It's not private, though, is it?
It ain't, bro. We sounded like such douche. Well, I sounded like douchebags going about Jet Suite X. It's a little bit more than a regular ticket. And then I'm like, oh, I flew in a private jet with Vin Diesel. Sounded like a wanker. I apologize. It's my life. 44. One time I've done it. So pipe, smoke it, put it in. Harrington, go.
There's no breaking news, but I do have 2 different street altercations involving MMA fighters. One, a group of unnamed MMA fighters who got into it on a golf course. The other, Nick Diaz.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw the Diaz one. That's boring. But you said the golf course one was great, and I'd seen it somewhere else, but I still haven't seen the video. Let's watch this, and then I got to bounce. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave you with the great Anthony Smith, Harrington, and Brian, and they're going to answer some questions. Press play.
Oh, shit. That was a nice overhand. Oh, God. Oh, there's so much happening.
I can't see anything.
Oh. There's like 3 people have been dropped. Wow. Yep. Those are MMA guys?
So apparently what happened was there were some kids. That house is a buttressing the golf course. There were some kids who were like messing around outside of the fence playing on the golf course. And the golfers who were retired MMA fighters were like, yo, get these kids out of here. They're going to get hit by a ball. The dads were in the backyard, just started talking shit like, oh, yeah, why don't you make us? And that turned into turned into some dads getting their ass beat on their own backyard.
Okay, if you insist.
they're like, these are a bunch of pussy golfers. We don't care. And they turned out to be MMA fighters. When I saw it, because I saw it on Instagram, first of all, the headline, because you know they're all at it now. DC is a maniac for golf. All he talks about is golf. Tyrone Woodley, he's always playing golf. You know, for a gangster from Missouri, he doesn't look too gangster when he's got all his golfing attire on. What else? Who else? They're all at it. They're golfing like maniacs. So I thought, I got, is this DC and his boys? Right. You know what I mean?
DC and Gaethje out there.
Gaethje was, on his YouTube video. Yeah. You play golf, Anthony?
Yeah, I do.
There you go.
Yeah, not well, but I play.
Everyone keeps asking me to play. It's like, bro, I've got one eye. I have zero depth perception.
You can fight with one, but you can't fucking golf.
Whole thing is, I mean, I can get a person, but it's like going the perfect point.
Practice. I believe in you.
Do you believe in me?
I do. We're gonna golf. We're in Vegas. We're gonna golf.
My wife got me some for Father's Day once years ago.
Dude, bring next time we work together in Vegas, you gotta bring your golf clubs. We'll go golf.
I'm gonna do it. I don't mean I'm gonna put what do you call it, a tee. With a ball in my back garden. I'm going to practice. It's perfect. A new thing. I'm going to show everyone that with one eye, anything is possible.
Yeah.
You can live your dreams. You can be a golfing wanker, even with one eye. Guys, I got to go. I'm currently 3 minutes late. It's okay. The driver will be waiting downstairs. Sorry, Anthony.
You're good.
Do some questions with the boys.
Yeah, do what you got to do. Get to work. Get home.
We'll talk Monday.
Yeah, we'll talk
Monday. Next time we speak, I will be home with the fake brick behind me, bits and bobs all over the place. Enjoy the rest of the show. I'm going to say bon voyage.
Travel safe.
Bye, guys. Anthony and Brian.
Later, brother.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Questions?
Let's do some questions,
all right, if you have a question, send it on in to bympod@gmail.com. The funnier, the better. If you have it written, sure, but we prefer video, as you know, on this show. If you're listening on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, make sure that you're subscribed to the show and you leave a 5-star rating, positive review. It helps out on all those platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and you hit that notification bell to find out whenever a new video drops. And if you want to catch over 400 episodes you can't find anywhere else, completely ad-free and totally uncensored, head to GasDigital.com, brand new website. Use that promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial. Check out over 20 great shows on the network.
All right, guys. So I was really trying to get Mike to stay for this first one. It seems like it's in his wheelhouse. But this is from James E. Adams.
All right.
Hello, everyone. So first time sending in a question. It's a Saturday night. I've been drinking, watching Kill Bill. And I thought it would be cool to buy one of the swords out of the film. So get on. Roping bike, buy myself a replica Hanzo sword. And it's very cool, but I'm kind of thinking, did I make an impulse purchase? The wife kicked off, said it was a waste of money, midlife crisis purchase, etc. So was it cool? Should I keep it? And if you could have any movie prop from any film, what would you all have? Cheers. Thanks for listening. Bye.
I love that. That dude just pulled up with a fucking katana sword. Just like,
check it out.
He's like, look at this. That's badass.
It makes me feel so good that I never bought a samurai sword when I was a dumb kid watching that dude pull his out.
He was so cool about it. I just heard the noise in my head. Well, first of all, it's cool. Definitely keep it. Your wife will get over it. Don't worry about it. Tell her I said it's okay. And if she's mad about it, just blame it on me because I don't give a shit. a cool prop from a movie. What would I want?
I want the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
Okay, so that's funny you bring that up because I was just thinking about that. Last time I was in New York with my wife and kids, there's a guy in Times Square that has like a replica car just like that from the movie, and he like people pay him a few dollars here and there to take pictures with it and shit. I have pictures with that car in Times Square.
Oh, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah, I have pictures with that car in Times Square. It's pretty badass, but yeah, I don't know what I would want. I would love something from like Bloodsport, like some prop from that movie.
His sweaty headband from Bloodsport.
Yeah, when he's just holding it like this. I want to fight with it around my shin. That'd be badass.
Dude, what about like any of the cars from Fast and Furious?
Oh, I see. I was thinking cars too, but I was like, there's so many different ones that I would want that I couldn't even pinpoint just one. I was thinking cars for sure.
Henry Cavill already has the James Bond Aston Martin, so.
Or like the one of the like that last motorcycle from Ghost Rider would be pretty sweet. That'd be sweet.
I just like of items I can't really think of like something I could display in my house.
Harrington's thinking of like huge dildos he's seen in porn. So he was like, yeah, this is
dude, that thing's got three heads. I gotta have that.
And you don't even need batteries, you can just plug it in.
Yeah. I want the double-headed dildo from Requiem for a Dream.
What about the dildozer from Idiocracy?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, you didn't see Idiocracy?
No. You know I didn't see that movie.
It's that's true. I do know you didn't see that movie. It's on the list.
Put it on the list. All right.
So we got another question here, and this one is from Mr. George Solis, and he's asking about rule changes in the UFC.
Like that.
Hey, BYM crew, how's it going? I was just wondering what you guys think about all the rule changes people try to talk about in the UFC, like if you think any of it is likely to happen, because ones that have been brought to attention that I like are like knees to the head from ONE FC. I really like their rule set for MMA, but love the names in UFC, so I'm stuck watching UFC naturally. And then with like weight classes, what about having more and, you know, having like a 5-pound limit in between each class? Because I've personally even fought 2 times with weight classes like that around here locally where I live. And one time I fought a guy 5 pounds less than me. And another time I went up and fought a guy five pounds more than me. And it kind of felt the same, you know. And so I was just wondering what you guys think about that and any other rule changes you'd like to see. And mainly, how likely do you think any of these rule changes are is my big question. Because I would love to see some that would make the fights more realistic. Yeah, I know it's not safe, but getting punched in the face or kicked in the face, in the body, is not safe. So what are we doing here? Let's make it as real as it gets. All right. Love you guys. Fuck you, Harrington. Congratulations on the baby. Welcome to the best hood in the world, fatherhood.
My guy. Rule changes. What everyone wants is these huge, big, dramatic changes that's going to make the sport look different. Guys, it's not going to happen. Any changes you see are going to be very incremental. They're going to be very small. And over a long period of time, you look at now and then look at it in 20 years, you're going to see probably a big difference. But as we go, they're going to be small little changes. I've always wanted more weight classes, but I understand why we don't do it. You don't want it to end up like boxing where, because think about this, like if there was a 140, 145, 155, 165, 175, you're going to have, I mean, however many champs that is. And then guys are going to be bouncing up and down 5 pounds here and there. And it just gets messy and it just muddies the waters. And so I get it. Would it be beneficial to me? For sure. Like if there was a 195 or 200, that would benefit me. You know what I mean? But I understand why we don't do it and why the UFC doesn't do it as a business. Knees to a grounded opponent. I also wish that was something that we did. But when it comes to, obviously, yes, it's inherently dangerous what we do. But any of these rule changes and things that we do, you're never going to see us do something that makes it more dangerous. It's just like we're at the most dangerous we're ever going to be right now. So anything that moves forward, like you're not going to see the NFL add a rule that says you can now go helmet to helmet contact. Like we're not going to go backwards in the danger factor. So yes, I agree with you. I think that would make it more realistic. I think that would add more action to the fights. It would benefit non-wrestlers. You know, you as a wrestler, you get stuffed on a takedown. You're not going to be able to hang out there, you know, with your arms extended, holding on to the hips, because you're going to be getting knees rained on the back of your head, or the top of your head, or whatever. So, yeah, I agree with all those things. I wish that that was the case. I just don't see some of those things being realistic. I'll say it again. We're not going to add any rules that are going to make it more dangerous. That's just not going to happen. I wish we could, brother. I wish we could.
Yeah, I feel like the closest they've come is changing it from the two hands down to the one hand down. Like, mm-hmm. That's as close as we've come to making a rule more dangerous. And that was
what, and that's
like
more of a fairness 7 years
ago?
Yeah, and that's more of a fairness thing. There's, if we're talking about knees to like downed opponents, there's nothing that would be more fair to me to allow me to do that, if that makes sense. So it doesn't justify the danger factor in it. The two hands, the one hand, you still have the ability to not take the knee, whether you have one hand or two, but it's also doesn't give you the ability to play that up down game and, you know, end up in some weird funky ass situations.
Yeah. There was one, I put it in the notes. You see that guy who tried biting to get a submission?
Really?
He was like, yeah, he was fighting for a submission. He couldn't get the rear naked choke locked in, and he just bit the guy's ear. And the guy was like, ah!
And then he just sinks
up the choke. He got disqualified because you just can't bite.
You can't bite. That's not something you can do.
It's crazy.
My God, there's video of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is great.
Come on now. Yeah, it's highlights from the fight, but then, yeah, you'll see towards the end here, the guy with the cornrows gets it back.
I'd be so mad if someone bit me.
Yeah.
Like you're getting jumped. You're getting jumped for sure.
I don't know how his corner didn't immediately jump in.
Oh, yeah. Mark Montoya's scaling the cage. He's coming over.
Yeah, right. So it'll show on the replay. He's holding his ear. You see that? Watch this.
Oh, my God. He bit the shit out of him and then sunk the choke. Oh, what a savage move, though. That's something you do in like a street fight, though. Choke him. That'd be great.
Man.
How we got left, Brian? We got two more or just one?
We got one more question. And my mistake, that last question was John Howard. And this next question is George.
All right, let's do one more.
Just in case people wanted to be yelling at me in the comments or whatever.
Dude, poor John, dude. It was his moment.
I mean, damn, I ruined it.
How's it going, BYM Pod? Huge, huge fan of the show. Been meaning to send a question for like past year. Too nervous too for some reason. My name is Jorge or George. Real quick, Bisbing, I know you're from England. Wondering if you ever aspired to be a professional football player, if you ever played before getting into martial arts and things of that nature. And also wondering what team you claim. I'm a huge Liverpool fan. I bleed for the Reds. So just curious on that. And Anthony, I know you're from Nebraska, but I understand you were born in Corpus Christi, Texas. I was born in Laredo, Texas, but I'm in Michigan in the Metro Detroit area. I grew up in Southwest Detroit, Mexican town. So I was wondering how you ended up from Texas to Nebraska, because that's quite a big change as well. Aside from that, plan on reaching out every week for sending in a question. Huge, huge fan of the show, like I said, and Bisbee been following you since The Ultimate Fighter. Anthony been watching you as well since Strike Force. Huge fan of you guys. Great book, Bisbing. And Harrington, you're the man. Congrats on fatherhood. I have a daughter. It's the best. And Brian, make the show run super smooth. Appreciate all you guys, and can't wait for the next episode. Thanks.
Nice.
Well, that guy's not going to see what just happened, so we'll just let him think.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, thanks for the question. Don't be nervous, guys. And girls, just send in the questions. Send them in. We love answering them. And we'll flip you some shit here and there, but it's all in fun. So my dad was a military guy. So I was born in Corpus Christi, Texas, and then we moved to Colorado Springs, lived there until like the end of elementary school, and then moved to Nebraska. So I lived in Colorado until I was just like fifth grade. And then, my parents were divorced when I was five. And then me and my mom and sister and grandparents moved to Nebraska to be with the rest of our family. So I wasn't in Texas long. I was just a baby, just a wee Texas baby.
Damn, dude. Military to bank robber is that feels like a movie.
Well, no. So my real dad, my biological dad, was in the military, was in Vietnam, got a Purple Heart, got out of the military. I don't know why I'm dropping my life story on you guys, but whatever. You want to listen to it? If you don't want to listen to it, this is pretty close to the end of the show, so you can shut it off now. And once he got out of the military, he got pretty wrapped up into drugs, crack, and he was always kind of a weed head and drank a lot. But, you know, something we don't really talk about too much, or at least back then they didn't talk about the mental health side of PTSD and guys getting out of the military. And, you know, it's something that I learned later on in life as, you know, me and my dad reconnected the last 3 years of his life, which was about 3 years ago. He passed on Father's Day. So we were cool, you know, by the time he passed away. But, you know, he just got into drugs and alcohol really bad, trying to, I guess, deal with the effects of PTSD and the military and all that stuff. It wasn't a thing they talked about back then. And people weren't loved when they came back from Vietnam here in America. The soldiers weren't revered and the heroes that they are today. So
yeah, they were spit on.
Right. So then my parents got divorced and then my stepdad ended up being the bank robber.
Okay. I got those conflated.
So my mom really knew how to pick them. She married a PTSD infected, crack addicted alcoholic. And she was like, you know what? I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm going to marry this guy. And at the time he was it's a really funny story, actually. He was a corrections officer at a prison. And I remember going to his house all the time, being like, damn, this dude's got such cool shit. Like, he had pool tables and crate. He lived out in the country in this big, huge acreage, and he had guns out the ass. And, you know, because I'm all about that. So I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. He had pool tables and he had big screen TVs when I didn't even know what a big screen TV was. Like the big, huge box projector TVs.
The thing in the back.
Yeah, they were like $4,000,000,000 back then.
And about that many pounds.
Yeah, right. He had one in every room. Like, he was balling. And I was a kid, though. I didn't understand. And my mom apparently was just oblivious because she was like, well, I guess he makes good money at the prison. And then sure as shit, I was like probably 10, maybe 9 or 10 when he got arrested. And it was the fat man bank robber in Colorado Springs. I Google it. If you Google fat man bank robber Colorado Springs, that's my stepdad.
I'm going to right now. But that's like, was he like getting tips from the prisoners? Like, all right, how do you not get caught?
No,
like,
nobody knew. Really? Nobody knew. My mom didn't know. Nobody knew. Damn. It was insane. He robbed 17 banks.
Okay, I'm looking this guy up now because that sounds awesome.
Like serial bank robber.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's him right there. The top. Hold on.
On the left?
No, it just disappeared. That was weird. Scroll down. Maybe not images. Try to just go like to a news story. Where the hell is it? I just looked it up.
Yeah.
Anyways, we can edit that out if you can't find it.
No,
that's not it. I was just looking it up there. I don't know. I was telling someone else a story. I looked it up and found it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but I remember being in my stepdad's living room with my mom. It's like me and my mom, my little sister, and we were watching the news. I vividly remember this. And I don't know why. We're watching the news at like the 10 o'clock news. Hey, that's a baby. That's a baby. we're watching like the 10 o'clock news, and it comes up like fat man bank robber strikes again, and like there's all the cops and showing the bank and like these really grainy footages, you know. And I remember my mom, because my mom was a big lady and he was a big old fat son of a bitch. I remember my mom saying, that is just so mean that they call him that. Like, they could come up with a better nickname. And he just kind of sat there like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up. It was him the whole time. It was wild. Man,
that's insane. That's so wild.
And then she stayed with him too. She was going to wait on him. He got like 20 years or he got 20 and was going to have to do 17. Cause in federal prison, you have to do like 70 or 80% of your time. And, he wasn't that far from getting out and he died in prison.
Ah, it sucks.
Yeah. Well, stay out of prison.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah, I can, I can speak for Bisping. I know that he never like could put like 1 foot in. Oh, Christ almighty, this is a problem.
Okay, do not edit that out.
That's bad, dude. That's bad.
I was like, what is running out of his? Oh, that dude's got a booger hanging. What are we doing?
That's just allergy season in New York. Mike could never put 1 foot in front of the other, so I know he never had dreams of being a footy player. But as far as I know, I think he's a Manchester United fan. Do not quote me on that.
I don't know. I don't know shit about soccer. All right, Brian, that's it, huh?
Yeah, that's about it for now. It's a lot of things come in that we cover during the episodes, or that, like, you know, so it'd be like somebody's asking to break down fucking Aljo Triple C fight.
Right.
First half of the episode is that.
Right.
This is why some questions don't get played. It's because we talk about it at length during the episodes.
Right.
So, you know.
All right. Well, folks. Yeah, that's it. That was a good show. I'm glad Michael's making his way back to the States. He seems like he's pretty burnt out and needs to get back home to his wife and kids. So I'm glad he gets to do that. I'm not envious of his flight, because that sucks. It's a long one. So we will see you guys on Monday. And
One chip challenge.
Yeah, we're gonna do the one chip challenge. We're not letting Mike get out of this one. So we're going to make sure we remind him Saturday, Sunday, all day Monday. Like,
I know everybody has their chip.
Yeah, I got them too. I got several, because my kids think it's hilarious, so they keep buying them too.
Harrington doesn't actually have his yet, but I have it literally in my hand right now. This is yours, Mike.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you guys Monday. That's it.